Let's go back to the summer of 1979. The latest issue of Punk magazine is out, and in between articles on The Clash and Alice Cooper is a centerfold of a glamorous woman lounging in a miniskirt. That's Niagara, the lead singer of the Ann Arbor band Destroy All Monsters.
November 22nd, 1963, a shot rang out, number one, but three.
The focus of the article is mostly on two members of the group, former Stooges guitarist Ron Ashton and ex-MC5 bassist Michael Davis, two bands that influenced punk and, in a way, the very magazine featuring the band. But there's also some talk about a former member of Destroy All Monsters, Carrie Loren. The punk magazine writer makes a few disparaging remarks about Loren, but clearly doesn't know or care about what DAM was before it was known as just a band. A few years earlier, Destroy All Monsters was creating music, but it was more primitive and art-based compared to the punk version. And DAM also focused on multimedia, long before that was a buzzword. Taking its name from the late 1960s Godzilla film, Destroy All Monsters started in 1973 when four artists, U of M art students Mike Kelly, Jim Shaw, and Niagara, and her then-boyfriend, filmmaker and photographer Carrie Loren, met in Ann Arbor. Over time, the group would create a large output of images and ideas, although most people at the time either didn't appreciate them or even know they existed. Loren says the members found roots in similar interests as they gathered at an Ann Arbor boarding house dubbed God's Oasis.
We'd meet at God's Oasis and watch old horror films together and B-movies and had a lot of, you know, a similar aesthetic, I think.
Niagara says the group was busy. Collages, underground films, photo shoots, and music recorded in the basement of God's Oasis became almost a daily affair. And over time, Niagara says her friends didn't know what to think of the group, especially when Destroy All Monsters would occasionally play at a party.
They just thought I was in some new weird religion. They just could not put their finger on any of it. I mean, it seems normal. I mean, then and now, but they would like totally bemused and confused and like, what's wrong with her and why is this happening? And you know, the party would clean out pretty fast.
At times, the starving artists in DAM found their lack of polish paid off along Ann Arbor's frat row. The group's members admit kind of sonically blackmailing unsuspecting frat brothers into paying them with food or cash to stop playing and leave. While DAM packed a lot of anarchistic and in-your-face style into the collective, the artist often focused on satire of contemporary America. They used celebrity culture, B-movies, and horror comics in the effect. DAM member Jim Shaw says the group's attitude really didn't have a formal name, but in a few years, people would call their edge and snottiness punk.
Well, at the time, we were trying to fill in some gaps, I'd say, at some level, because a lot of the work that you'd see by professors was pretty uninspiring, not all of it, but the music scene wasn't anywhere near as interesting, you know, in the mid-70s in Ann Arbor as it had been in the late 60s. You know, the Stooges were long gone, and we were trying to fill in some of that aspect, I guess.
DAM member Mike Kelly says filling in the gaps he felt were missing in the culture or his formal education cultivated a do-it-yourself attitude.
And to be willing to be out there and experimental and not get too caught up in notions of quality and at the same time taking it seriously. Like, I never thought about it as a joke, even though there's aspects of it that were meant to be silly or done purely for confrontational reasons or purposely dumb. There's other aspects of it that were really like a growth experience, especially like working with other people and realizing you all have to share and fighting and disagreeing is part of that. And in fact, it makes it better.
This week, collected works by Mike Kelly, Jim Shaw, Niagara, and Carrie Loren, created during their time together in Ann Arbor, will go on display for the first time. Return of the Repressed, Destroy All Monsters, 1973 to 1977, opens at the Prism Gallery in Los Angeles. Many of the pieces will be seen by the public for the first time since their creation over 35 years ago. Dan Nadell is curator of the exhibit. He says Destroy All Monsters was an innovative collective.
There weren't that many that were taking photos and making films and sculpture and painting and you know, massive Xerox, one-off Xerox runs and drawing and flyers and then getting up and, you know, making a ton of noise. You just didn't see that otherwise. not to that level of ambition. I mean, they went pretty far. I think they relate more forward than to anything of their time.
Destroy All Monsters ended around 1977, about a year after Mike Kelly and Jim Shaw left Ann Arbor to continue their art studies in California. Both Kelly and Shaw have gone on to become well-known in contemporary art, with several of their pieces in internationally known institutions, like the Museum of Modern Art in New York. Mike Kelly also caught the attention of indie rock fans in 1992 when his artwork was featured on Sonic Youth's Dirty album. A few years later, Sonic Youth's Thurston Moore released a box set of early Destroy All Monsters music. After Kelly and Shaw left Michigan, Niagara and Kerry Loren continued to use the name. After adding former Stooges guitarist Ron Ashton and ex-MC5 bassist Michael Davis, Loren left Destroy All Monsters but continued to publish an art magazine of the same name. Meanwhile, the punk rock version of Destroy All Monsters, fronted by Niagara, continued through the mid-1980s. Since then, she has continued in music, while focusing on painting. In the early 1990s, Niagara started to develop many of her best-known images, featuring striking and often satirical pop representations of film noir femme fatales. Over the past few years, Niagara's art has graced a signature line of sneakers for Vans, an apparel company popular with skateboarders, and she's also created her own line of women's fashions. Kerry Loren continues to practice photography and printing, and since the early 1980s, has owned the BookBeat independent bookstore in Oak Park. Curator Dan Nadell says the works in the show throw light on the early days of the members of Destroy All Monsters, and in a way, a certain period in American cultural and art history.
You get to see kind of what happens when a bunch of artists are left to their own devices in a burned out town in a very funky time in American history, and with no real institutional support or grants or fancy galleries or anything like that. And that's, I think, inspiring. I think it should be inspiring.
The Destroy All Monsters retrospective, The Return of the Repressed, runs through January 7th at the Prism Gallery in Los Angeles. I'm Rob St. Mary, WDET News.